Welcome to Primary Attribute, we're a Castle and Crusades actual play podcast. My name is Ian. I'm the Castle Keeper, or Game Master as it's known in a lot of other systems, and I use they, them pronouns.
Hey, my name's Adam. I play as Vons. Vons is our furry little fox folk alchemist buddy. He's, you know, using he, him pronouns like I do. And, you know, just getting along, bopping around.
I'm Erin. I play Jesse Sweetbone Phelps, the half-orc ranger. We both use she, they pronouns. And Jesse is just like hanging out, doing her thing, a little anxious about how much we're underwater.
I'm Kelly. I play Wealthy Taylor, the halfling wizard. We both use she, her pronouns. And Wealthy is feeling a little bit like she may have a second personality going on here.
And I'm Wit. I play Grix, the kobold illusionist slash mechanic. We both use he, him pronouns. And Grix is thinking in portals.
If you get a chance, you should rate and review us on your podcast platform of choice. Helps people find us, encourages us to keep doing what we do. You should do it for every other podcast you listen to as well. Erin, would you like to do the recap?
Yes, I would. In the Prime Universe, Grix and Jesse went to the Urn Cave while Vons made more water breathing. They, through some pretty intense prompting by Ian, investigated the treasure in the Urn Cave. Grix found that the thing that had been triggered by his detect thoughts, the thing that he had been humming at, was the Spear of Incredible Heroes, as it calls itself. It is a sentient spear. It said that basically it doesn't think that Aegis is coming back if Aegis has left, because the urn was Aegis's prison, and the witch that had imprisoned Aegis is clearly no longer here, and so Aegis has no reason to come back. Nothing else in the treasure pile is bad except something in one of the chests, and if we want to, we can take a lot of gold. We took more water breathing when we got back and returned to what I am calling the Drowned Arcs. We searched around and ultimately found a giant teleport spell. Depending on the position of the crystals along the walls, we might be able to pinpoint where this teleport spell goes. Grix is currently investigating how the teleport spell works exactly and how we might be able to use it. This is what we were looking for. The goo monster vial was leading us to this room. Jesse is currently training, and Vons is currently probably trying to find potion ingredients. In the Green Day or Double Prime universe, Wealthy began to talk to the goo monster inside her that at the end of the previous episode had whispered, consume. She learned that this thing is named Sidroa. It eats evil and would love to have eaten Aegis. They had a very long conversation. Sidroa also does not think that Aegis would be coming back if Aegis is gone. And it seemed like Wealthy was going to try to work with Sidroa because Sidroa eats evil and Wealthy is ultimately a good person. Wealthy also thinks that she should return to the Prime Universe with all of this knowledge because Sidroa can't really do anything here except bro and then do nothing because magic does not exist here. Wealthy looked through her book and she wants to try doing her spell to take her back to the portal room where everyone else is, which she learned about when Jesse called Gex back to fill each other in on what's going on. And that is where we ended the episode.
One thing I remembered and failed to remember after your first prompt for was anything out of the thing. I think there was a discussion in this last episode about if Wealthy had anything connected to the other side.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Did I?
I mean, you've got the kind of, I mean, you've got stuff that you've left with us. You've got the scarf that you gave me for my spell.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. I think that was the conclusion.
But I don't know if that's significant enough for what you need.
You'll find out.
Cool.
All right. So we are going to start with Wealthy.
Oh, How unusual.
Wealthy.
Yes.
You're on the road. You're heading towards... your plan was to cast the spell at the lakeside cabin retreat.
Mm-hmm.
So you're headed out that way.
We decided I could direct where the portal in the lake went.
Yeah, you'd have more to work with.
Because I'm not trying to get back to myself. Okay.
Yeah, basically it's far easier to tune it there. The spell is easier.
Okay.
But you have to go to there and possibly go swimming. But all right. So there's that. And Vons and Grix.
Yeah.
You're in a van with someone who keeps going quiet and clearly looking deep within themselves, probably in some cool philosophical way. An old guy with a gun and a book that is definitely not about mushrooms in Death Valley. Although Grix and Vons both recognize that book. So,
well, I'm driving, right? So I got other things on my mind.
Yeah, no, there's not too much you can do about it right the second. Just
yeah. Hey, you want to read? You want to read from the book to us? I'm down to know about some mushrooms.
I don't know if reading that out loud is the best idea.
Why? Is this a Necronomicon type situation?
Could be.
What fantasy race is Bruce Campbell in this?
Oh, yeah. That's a very, very important question that we need the answer to, Ian.
I'm trying to figure out if any fantasy race would be particularly prone to giving fantastically defined chins.
Yeah.
Probably humans is your best bet.
I don't know. Yeah. Probably, or like Genasi, maybe.
Maybe. Human, but there's all these discussions which no one can quite feel out how comfortable it is if there's something up, you know, not quite half elf, but, you know, half dwarf or something like, further up in his bloodline.
Got it.
How magic is Bruce Campbell? Even though there's not magic in this setting, you know.
Oh, God. I bet that's like a very common, like, Google, like how magic is. X celebrity.
Oh god, yeah, it's this whole fucking cottage industry of inquiry, which is not a real phrase, but like
it's like you get those websites like how much is X celebrity worth.
Yes.
And yeah. So you can't really, you know, if you're in the know, you're like, what this is ridiculous. How do they know this?
And I think at this point in history, Google, as small as it was literally the cottage industry of inquiry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now you ask Jeeves what they're...
Alta Vista.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. So is this like a Necronomicon kind of thing? If we read it, we're going to die? Or fight monsters? More monsters than we've already... Or more things?
I'm talking to the thing in my head, so...
Yeah, I'm more asking for...
You'll summon eldritch beings. Like me, like you did last time.
Oh, well, I mean, that's been good so far, right? Like, you seem chill.
You'd be surprised how few people apparently think that.
I'm sorry. That must be rough.
Yeah, some people find me annoying. I've made my peace with it. I just don't hang out with them all the time.
Bummer.
You know, friend groups.
Yeah.
I've been told. Anyway, so...
Don't make me feel bad for Gex. God...
I would never make you feel bad for any side character, villain, or anyone else in this universe by revealing that they have feelings.
In my defense, he was such an asshole to Erisine the first time he met her.
Oh, yeah. No, he made a terrible impression.
Like, such a fucking asshole.
I'm just glad because I made Kelly feel bad for the corruption.
Fascinating. Okay. Yeah, well, I'm just still driving along.
All right. Now, a very important question for both Grix and Vons.
Yeah.
When it's your turn with the radio, what do you tune it to?
Vons definitely listens to grunge music. I know it's a little late for grunge.
It's never too late for grunge.
I listen to grunge on my way to work every day.
It's never too late to grunge is also the new Seattle City motto.
Yeah, grunge would be good.
Yeah,
that probably sounds about right.
It's a little like out of the grunge era, but whatever like the alternative contemporary is at this point.
Right.
It's Nickelback.
No, he's not doing that.
Garbage had like a top 10 song, or I'd say them. But
but yeah, the grunge station, whatever it is that he can find on there at the moment, is definitely rotating into Nickelback from time to time, and it's probably a bit of a groaner.
Sure.
So great. How about you?
Yeah. Oh, probably similar.
That's why they hang out.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, that's a pretty standard answer for two kind of semi-stoner bro guys, like, going off in the woods to camp.
Yeah, that's fair. All right.
Griff doesn't seem like a, I don't know, country? No. No,
I mean, it could also be in, like, the AC/DC direction or something like that.
It could, and that was my original thought, but that's too much Wits direction, so.
Griggs is just really in a house.
I mean, both of you are too much Wits direction. Frankly,
oh my god.
Eurodance.
I cannot imagine Griggs being into house or Eurodance.
Doesn't just have Cascada on loop.
Planet of the Bass came out, and, like, you know, 34-year-old Griggs was like, what the fuck? Why are we going back here?
Wit believes everything you just said are words.
I don't. That it's was fine. Only earlier this year, my buddy.
I don't know any of those things.
Planet of the Bass? That no. TikTok video? Of, like, never mind.
I have no idea what you're talking about. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
This has also been our weekly entry of Dating the Podcast. Assuming you can still find TikToks in the future, dear listener, and it didn't all just get flushed down a hole of deleted data at some point.
One of my favorite hobbies is using TikTok and Vine interchangeably and making people who care mad.
Yeah, that would do it.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. All right. So, you're all on the road. Grix and Vons and Wealthy, I need all three of you to roll D100s for me.
Oh.
An action that has never signified the possibility of anything.
Oh, 86.
You're out of here. 51.
Just a second. I'm rolling my D100.
We believe you.
Yeah, Vons 42. Is so mid, you can just forget about him. Oh, cool.
Good numbers.
Yeah.
Nice spread.
All right. Grix, it's an easy drive. Vons, you're out of your favorite snack, but you do have your second favorite snack.
Gummy worms.
I was going to say Wealthy finds a DVD copy of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, but I'm not sure it's actually out yet. So,
No, it's the, oh, no. You know what it is? It's the BBC radio play. We've got the tapes.
Yeah.
So we pop that on.
Sweet. All right. So you have some good listening. And none of you rolled terribly. So you make it to the cabin without incident. It's looking better than it was when you left. It's been repaired and cleaned up. Like, it wasn't in terrible shape, but giant storm, raccoons, inexorably advancing creatures of light. You know, they're all a little hard on a place. So, but it's looking just like it was. And Wealthy, you remember being in a metal box on this very, you know, packed dirt driveway.
Mm-hmm.
And you're now in a field west of a white house. What do you do?
Okay, so I'm trying to calm down, because, you know, that was a very traumatic experience. But I'm okay. So I'm going to look out towards the lake. Is there anything that indicates there's a portal to another world underneath the lake? You know, like a mysterious whirlpool that shows up every once in a while?
No, and due to budget cuts, they never installed the portal warning buoy, because there's not enough boat traffic here. So, but yeah, no obvious indication.
Okay, then I'm going to point to it. I'm going to look at Grix and Vons. I'm going to say, is that where the spell happened?
Narrator, you initially cast the spell in the basement and then went over to the lake just to... Wealthy just swam out on her own.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
Okay, so where did I cast the spell? And that's right, I cast a spell in the basement, but I don't think that was kind of because there were monsters coming after us. So I don't think I need to cast the spell in the basement. I think I can cast it out here. Does anybody have a reason why we should wait? I don't have a reason why we should wait, but, you know.
I know nothing about any of this, so, like, we're here for you.
Okay. I'm going to go out on the landing of the on the dock and open the book.
Okay. Make an intelligence check to reread the spell and see what you need to do to kind of tune it right for this situation.
Oh, that's a 19 plus 9 is 28 plus 2 is 31, 30.
All right. The spell will probably be easier to cast if you pull out roughly over top of the portal's actual location.
Okay.
Also, last time you cast this spell, you weren't, or at least last time when you were casting, you're pretty sure this spell, you weren't positive if the creatures of light getting trapped and then, you know, dying was an essential magical component. You also remember there was blood involved. So you might end up doing some tweaking.
Okay.
Basically, you're going to have to start it's going to be harder for you to channel the magic, and you're not working with a lot of magic because you just have those few spell slots.
Right.
So you can either try to gather some stuff you think will be magically significant, or you can just work harder to channel the magic you have, but that will basically involve some intelligence checks as you cast.
Okay. I'll work with what magic I have.
Okay. So how do you want to get out to over the portal area? Because that was at least 100 feet out from the stock, if memory serves.
It's out in the water?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are...
I took a boat out there the last time, didn't I?
You swam.
No, I swam. God. Well, I can't cast a spell from, you know, while I'm treading water. So I probably need a boat. I know about boats now. So do I see a dinghy, you know, like... drawn up to the,
a canoe?
To the pier?
You see, I think it's probably stashed. Like, the pier goes back into the sand a little bit, and up above the... Not, there's a super big changing of tides, but stashed pretty securely underneath it is what looks to be some sort of sailboat setup, presumably with a mast that either unfolds or mounts in some way. So yeah, Frymeath kind of, when you say boat, kind of looks at it and goes, I can get that set up, but it will take a little bit of time.
Okay, if you can do that, then I will make sure I have all the spell components I need so that when we get out there, we can get this done.
Okay. Vons, Grix, please help me with this.
Yeah.
And you all start dragging out a sailboat of the variety intended for lakes, which are small.
Mm-hmm.
And that Aerosene was, I'm sure, forced to learn how to sail at some point.
Oh, no. Those tiny ones, those are, like, super fun, actually.
Okay.
On a windy day... You get one of those like 10 footers. It's like bananas fun.
Okay, cool.
You like capsize it over and over. If the lake is shallow enough, you fully capsize it like all the way over, and you can like get the like bottom muck to like, you know, scrape with the top of the mast. It's bananas fun.
I guess I have plans for my next lake trip now.
It's so fun. I mean, fun. It has to, yeah, you know, it can't be more than, you know, I would say probably 10 foot deep lake, but yeah.
Yeah.
Or parts of the lake. Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. But okay. So they drag that out, get it set up.
And I did have to have, there were four of us in the spell,
mm-hmm.
and we all had to, three, there was a blood component. Everybody had to do their thing, to cut their palms.
Okay.
So,
all right.
So I tell everybody, and I'm letting Frymeath know, because Vons and Grix haven't forgotten what has happened in the past 6 months, that this spell component requires all four of us. We need to cut our hands, and we need to hold our hands while I repeat the spell. This will be a lot less strenuous. This should be a lot less strenuous than it was when we were doing it the last time, because we don't have monsters coming after us, and hopefully the monsters aren't required. So, yeah.
Sorry, hopefully the monsters aren't required? Sorry, let's... Nope, I'm not going to dwell on that. It's fine. I trust you. Let's go.
Let's go.
All right. So you get the boat set up. You get ready to head out. Kelly reminded me that it's been at least 6 months since the last thing, which means you're now in at least late fall or, you know, winter. It starts just downpouring because you're in Washington.
And you're far enough away from the sound that there's not protection.
I was going to say, not next to the sound. So it's rain and not just an aggressive mist. But yeah, so it's pouring, but you want to get this done. So you head on out.
We head on out.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Frymeath goes and gets the boat to a relatively stable stop where you tell him. And you need to you start doing the spell. You draw out. You draw the circle that is needed for kind of channeling the magic in the spell, and probably in Sharpie on the boat, because chalk ain't gonna work here. And you start casting the spell. It's gonna be a long one. I need you to do an intelligence check to get it started off.
That is 26.
That's pretty good, I guess. You get rolling. You hold hands. It's all very lovely. Well, three of you that are not wealthy hold hands, so probably Frymeath, Grix, and Vons. Well, Gex, I don't know, keeps an eye out. Looks on, supervises.
Yeah,
so you start casting, and you're trying to get it, you're actively trying to get it to that room that was described to you, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And what item do you want to try to channel the I'm finding them through? Like, do you want to use the fact that Grix has a piece of your clothing, or do you want to try?
I'm going to assume that Grix has that piece of clothing. I don't see why they would be carting around my stuff just on, you know.
I mean, I told you I'd be keeping that with me.
I'm going to assume it's the piece of clothing, because like I said, I don't think they're going to be carting around my stuff just because there's no reason to do that. So I'm going to remember that he has that scarf. And so I'm going to remember what the scarf looks like, how big it is, you know, what the pattern is, how it felt in my hands, how Grix looked the last time he was holding it.
Okay. Yeah, you channel that magic. And your spell continues. Grix, Vons, Jesse.
Yes, hello.
You are in a big, elaborate, domed room. There are several patterns crisscrossing the floor, and also several, I guess, concentric, so, you know, nested circles. There's magic runes everywhere, including all up the walls of this dome. There are also, lining the top of the dome, there's several arms. Think like the top half of a gyroscope kind of thing, in terms of the way they're layered.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly just rotating on the horizontally. But, Grix, you've been trying to figure this thing out, and you all see some of the runes start to spark and light up.
Oh boy. Daddy, that. I'm gonna get out of the way.
Yeah, Jesse yeets off to the edge of the room.
Okay. Vaughn.
Is there a hallway?
you did not just enter here through teleportation, so yes.
Yeah. Maybe Vaughn's goes back the way he came a bit.
Well, then I'm tempted to be like, there's no hallway, but there's a foyer and a lobby. Nowhere to retreat to.
Is it a foyer or is it a mud room?
It's a foyer.
Mm.
It's too far inside the arcs. All the mud has already gotten scraped off your boots. All right. So Vaughn's retreats, Jesse retreats, Grix, I assume, also retreats, it sounded like. Or were you just... Okay. So you're on the hall.
I don't know about retreat. I want to watch it, but like, okay. I don't want to... be in it.
Yeah, I figure I was poking around with it at the entrance.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. And you see those things spark. Wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
You're focusing on those feelings. You're tuning this spell. You're saying the words. Make another intelligence check, please.
Damn. That's a 19, so again 30.
That was 20. Okay, yeah. All right, you get a 30. You are able to follow that thread. It may not have been the, you know, in an ideal world, you would have, I don't know, a vial of Grix's blood or something, but like, you are more than able to work with what you have. As a heads up, you've only used one of your level one spell slots. You're going to be consuming all of those and all of your cantrip slots to cast the spell.
Okay.
But you are expertly weaving the magic together in those, you know, knots and cords and strings of magic, as you've described your magic before.
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting it together perfectly. There are times in any skill, especially like, yeah, any art or like any technical skill, where you just have that moment where you're like, I'm pretty good at this. I'm really good at this. And you're having that moment.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. This is working. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
This is what I trained for.
Also, make a wisdom check.
Oh, God. 19 again. So that would be a 28.
All right. It's an overcast day. It's raining. It's hard to see. But in this moment, interrupting your, you know.
My flow.
Yeah, you're transcendental. I've got this state. You feel this very strong, sudden stab of something going wrong.
Oh, no!
Not from what you're doing.
Uh-huh.
But just something in the world is about to go bad.
Uh-huh.
I need you to roll a d6 for me.
That's a 4.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right.
Oh, God.
Well, you've gotten some of that blood you need.
Oh, God.
Because you've never seen what happens when a bullet actually hits somebody.
Oh, no!
No.
But you get to see it because from somewhere there on the shore,
oh, no!
You would assume, unless they're, I don't know, in the water or on hang gliders, someone hits Frymeath.
Oh, no! Wow. Where's the... Where did they hit him?
Make another wisdom check.
Oh, God.
You're trying to balance, you know,
that's
being a very internal thing with external sensing. So
that's a 15.
You're pretty sure it's the shoulder.
Okay.
Or the chest. It's in that area.
right or left?
Right.
Okay.
And he curses and grits his teeth and doesn't interrupt your spell at all. You also hear Gex freaking out. and then start saying something, but, you know, you're concentrating on the spell. You're
I'm concentrating
talking.
On the spell.
It's hard for you to make it out.
At this point, as upset as I am that Frymeath is hurt, I know that the only thing I can do is get out of here, because otherwise I'm going to be the next one. If they catch me, I'm doomed.
All right. Vons, Grix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. This is bad.
Frymeath just got shot. You encounter the fact that your parents' generation are not, in fact, invincible and all-knowing, but are flawed and human like the rest of us. Or I guess your grandparents.
So do I make a sanity check or something?
No, you just have that awkward transitional moment into adulthood.
I really hope that they had that realization before the age of, what, like 19?
Yeah, it's a little late, but... And I guess it's not Aerisine, because I could see... Depending on how closely, Frymeath is one of those people that's also hyper confident. So I could see it being a little shaken then too.
It also happens in stages.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay.
You confront the fact that your parents and grandparents will someday die. Hopefully not through sudden blood loss caused by a bullet. Anyway, besides those feelings, how do you process the fact that someone just got shot?
Well, first off, take cover or get down.
Gonna say, and if you move from holding hands, you will break this spell. You're also on a boat in the middle of the lake. There's not very much cover to speak of.
Right. So
laying down.
Why is somebody shooting at us? This is weird.
It's that fellow. It's the fellow from before. I'm gonna grab Frymeath's gun. Or Frymeath is still up, right?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
Also, yeah, you're all holding hands.
Yeah, you're holding hands in a circle. You're...
Oh, we still mm-hmm. are. Yeah. Yeah. Fair. Okay.
It's like that one scene in Buffy, or a much more relevant reference that's easier to parse.
I'm gonna like encourage us all to like duck down and get real low.
Yeah.
Okay. Wealthy, you feel yourself get tugged down into a low crouch position.
Okay. I'm still working real hard at my spell.
Yep.
Trying to maintain my concentration.
All right. Grix, Vons, Jesse. Yeah.
Yes, hello.
More of those runes flare to life, but Grix, you see some of them start like whatever magic is flowing through here is clearly trying to expand outwards. It didn't actually start at the center. It started at an intersection of a couple of lines further out towards the edge. But you're pretty sure it's trying to spread over the whole thing. But after it hits a certain point, it starts flickering and there's actual like magical sparking. You see fun and interesting things happen, like, you know, a little bit of ice crust forming in one spot. A flower sprouts out of the stone and, you know, immediately withers away in another. So you know that there's some magic overflow and or leakage and or a breach of the rune going on. And you know from all your experience doing maintenance work that something is going on with this machine. Do you want to just let it play out or do you want to try and fix it?
I mean,
you have spent hours exploring how this machine works, so you have some idea of the things you can try. But then you'll be in there with the leaky magic thing.
Yeah. How dangerous do I think that is, or do I just have no idea?
You think it's not dangerous yet.
Okay.
Basically, you don't think there's enough magic flowing into broken stuff to be a problem. This wouldn't be even if it were to blow off right now, like, it wouldn't be a conduit explosion level of thing, like you experienced previously. So it's dangerous, but not absurdly so.
Okay. All right. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go in and try to fix it.
Okay. So you've learned from exploring this space and this device that you're pretty sure that these swinging dome arms tune this to various locations.
Okay.
I think we've mentioned previously. And you will need to find the right tuning, which you can presumably do by observing the effects. It's not the best way to do it ever, but it's what you got, and it's workable. Like, you've worked with all sorts of machines that do magical flow, and especially if it's old and undocumented or, like, partially broken, sometimes you just got to carefully experiment until it works.
I have two ideas here that might make that better.
Yeah. What's it?
The first is, can I look at the pendant thing and see if certain combinations lead to a stronger signal?
Okay. You can. And okay. What's the second idea?
The second one is, if that wasn't going to work, I was also going to cast Find Person, Find Humanoid, and see if that gave a stronger tug ever.
Make an intelligence check.
Okay. 15.
Okay. With that, if you succeed at both of those, the effects will stack.
Okay.
So casting the spell is as easy as casting the spell.
Great.
For getting a read on the amulet, I'll need you to make an intelligence check.
Sure. And can I do all this while still holding hands? Like, is that...
This is you back in the Prime Universe.
Yep.
Because you're tuning the thing, so...
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yep. I'm on board now. Yep. That's true and fair. Okay. I'm going to cast a spell and then another intelligence check.
Okay. Yeah.
Ooh. That's a 25.
That was high enough. All right. For the rest of these, when I have you make an intelligence check, add 2d4.
Okay. Sweet.
All right. So you start tuning stuff.
Yes.
Make your first intelligence check to do that. And remember, you're adding 2d4.
Right. 20.
You succeed. Also, you realize something.
Yeah.
Some of these arms are in far better condition than others. Some of them are jamming. And some of them clearly have, like, various kinds of surface damage that might preclude them working completely properly. If you find a way to address this, and by that I mean anyone in the party, you'll reduce some upcoming difficulties.
What are the arms made of?
It looks like they are mostly brass, but you're suspecting that maybe it's a very thick, like, coating of brass, and that some of the internals have gotten damaged just over time.
Well, I've got one spell of mending, so I can cast that to fix one, like fix cracks or...
Yeah. And so some of it is
wear and tear.
Is damage to, like, the tracks or the joint it's rotating on.
It will fix everything within a very small area.
Yeah. So you'll need more than that.
Okay. Yeah, I know. I'm just saying I can fix one of them or part of one of them.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But other than that, yeah, if other people, if others got a way to like make these arms move right.
If Grix is, like, telling us what's going on, Jesse is happy to use, I don't know, like a dagger or something, you know, whatever means she has to, like, you know, help get things moving again, like, you know, dig out whatever.
An older
dagger, I guess.
Okay. So Grix, what is he telling the other people about this, sound like?
Yeah. Hey, these arms are not working right. They're sticky or corroded or whatever. If you can do anything to clean them up or rejiggle them, that'd be great.
Well, we're in a boat. Boats usually have
No. This is the Prime Universe group.
Oh, damn it.
Cuz Jesse's there.
Sorry, enough confusion and I just lose the whole thread.
No, that's fair.
Okay.
Just remember, if Jesse's there and Wealthy's not there, we're in the Prime Universe.
Then I'm probably thinking of a completely different set of arms. What are we talking about?
The arms of the teleportation circle thing. It's like a mechanical teleportation device, like steampunky.
Okay.
And the arm, like, there's wiggling arms.
Yeah, it's like the top half of a gyroscope or an orrery or something like that.
Right.
Like a Stargate. Like a multi-disc Stargate. SG-1 style. Ow, my nose.
That must have, that must have popped up while I was trying to figure out what the hell is going wrong.
And it doesn't have a DHD, so have fun.
Okay. Actually, yeah. Since we're talking about this Vons now, he's probably got something in his bag.
While Vons tries to find the thing in his bag, which understandably takes some time, Jesse is going to just go to whatever is, like, I guess probably the furthest away one, because she can cover a little more ground and just see what's wrong. Like, you know, have Grix point her in the direction of the, like, whatever one is not working, and she can, you know, try and see if there's, like, rocks or something that she needs to move, or, you know, if it's just gunky and needs to get, like, kind of...
Yeah, so a couple, you know, there's...
Dug out a little.
There's a few that aren't working very well. You, Grix points you to the one that, like, is really, really not moving. You take a look at it, make a wisdom check to quickly just evaluate, like, what's going on? How can I fix it, maybe?
That's a 19 plus 10 is 29.
Pretty fucking good. All right, so you're looking at this thing. It looks like the, like, rolling mechanism that's in the slot on the wall is corroded pretty badly. It's the kind of thing where with, you don't do a lot of mechanical stuff, but you're pretty sure if someone, like, took this apart and cleaned it really well and, you know, oiled it and put it back in, it'd be fine again. Mm-hmm. But for right now, like, just the dagger isn't going to cut it. However, you think you could push it.
Oh, well, then I'll just push it.
Yeah. All right, make a strength check.
I understand that this is magic, but I also understand that, like, this is pretty important, and this is, like, this doesn't seem like the kind of wild magic that Kindness was telling me that I needed to be aware, like, scared of, so.
Yeah.
Strength is 19 on a prime. 9 plus 10.
All right.
19.
You start shoving, and there are some truly horrible screeching noises, but... You do manage to get this thing moving, and Grix, you are able to keep an eye on it and keep figuring, you know, how it goes. All right.
Yeah, you got it.
Vons, oh, did you okay. Find anything?
I mean, so badass right now.
Yeah. Super cool.
Heck, that works.
You get that shot from the back and see Jesse's back muscles flexing.
Like, exactly. Really cool. Exactly. Exactly.
What's her armor? Always cut in a racer back style? Who can say? But it is in this shot. But all right. Vons, what'd you find in your bag of tricks?
Well, he did find that slippery oil that he bought that one time. Same time he bought the itching powder. He figured, this might be good for playing pranks or evading pursuers.
All right. You can definitely use that to lubricate some of the less corroded pieces and get it so they're moving again. And yeah, you guys... Sorry, I'm just trying to think about something real quick. Yeah, Grix, you are kind of... There's like a area where you're clearly supposed to stand to tune this, and you can adjust some of the arms, but not all from here. You have a feeling there was probably a device actually here at some point to help tune this thing, and it wasn't just all being shoved around by people. But whatever it is, it's gone now, or possibly part of the rubble down one of the hallways, depending on how this collision went. So basically, there's a good spot for you to supervise.
Okay, great.
And still contribute to the movement, but yeah, you're focused. A lot of your focus is on tuning everything. But okay, so Vons, make a dexterity or intelligence check to apply your limited oil resource successfully.
Okay. Ooh, not great on the die. That's a 6, but dexterity is a prime, so a bunch. 17? Yeah. Or, no, 16.
Okay. Just trying to remember your dexterity modifier. All right. So, yeah, you start going and shoving it that way. Let's see, Grix, I know you made one intelligence check so far. Make one more. And from here to the end of this, because of the efforts of your friends, you now have 2 rerolls you can use.
Oh, heck yeah. Holy moly. Well, I got a natural 20. So that's a 36.
All right. I'm going to say that gets you 2 successes instead of just 1 on my little clock chart. So,
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah. Grix, you've always been pretty good with machines. You've always been very good with machines. That's why you do what you do. And there are those moments, much like how Wealthy is just having this moment with her magic, where you just understand on a deep level how something works. You get not only the device in front of you, but like you basically intuit the operating principles behind it. And you are having that moment right now. And it is also, you know, that if you hadn't gotten your illusionist training, you wouldn't be able to do this. So it has paid off for you. Because I know Grix had some feelings about that. So, yeah.
Sorry. Oh, what? No, I'm happy with my illusionist
training. I remember you were bummed that you needed to be an illusionist or learn illusion instead of like just engineering, if I remember right. But that might have been early draft times for your character.
No, but I mean, no.
3 years ago.
I
thought you took illusion because you were missing an arm and you weren't as thrilled about it. But
what? No.
Okay, I misremembered.
I mean, I made the missing arm after I made my character.
Yeah. Anyway.
No, we're all good. Everything's fine.
Oh, whatever. So, but you brought your two disciplines together, and it's all clicking. Back in the rain on a boat.
Mm-hmm.
With a 30% chance of bullets. Wealthy, make another wisdom check.
Oh, that's a nat one. So it comes up to 10.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, Wealthy, you're concentrating enough that most of the world is background noise at this point, even though, you know, like you were tugged down to a crouch, but that was mostly by feel. You know that there was a bullet and that Fragmeath got shot. But, like, you're kind of at a disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
But you feel something pushing on the edge of your mind, and it bursts through for just a moment.
Okay. Is it Citra? Go.
It is not. You take 3 points of damage, and your nose starts bleeding.
Oh, God. Okay.
As there's just this pierce in your head of, not magic, but something like it.
Okay.
Incidentally, you're pretty sure Gex preferred not having a bullet hole in him.
Oh, God.
No!
But, he's squished himself to the deck, and then you see, you know, a burst of red quickly lost in the rain and see him tumble towards the side of the boat.
Oh, no.
He manages to get a foot on the side of the boat, so he's now dangling on the opposite side of presumably where the bullet came from.
Well,
unless it's
whoever it was,
a reversal day.
Yeah, whoever it was, they obviously weren't aiming for him.
And
no, he's visible.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so... But, yeah, so Gex has been shot. Make another intelligence check. Everything is fine.
Oh, me? Oh, God. Oh, God! That's a 3, so that's a 14.
You feel the spell starting to slip.
Oh, no!
It hasn't yet, but you feel it starting to slip.
Okay. I'm holding on real tight. I'm concentrating really hard. My eyes are squished shut.
Okay. This takes you... The recovery takes you a little bit of time, but you think you're back on steady ground.
Until?
Grix, make a wisdom check.
Which version of Grix, actually?
Grix. Grix in the currently narrated boat-based universe.
Okay.
15? 15, not prime.
All right, Grix.
Yeah.
I'm just going to port this fucking mechanic. Roll 2 dice and choose the lower for a dexterity saving throw.
Roll 2 dice and pick the lower.
You're rolling at
for
disadvantage.
Dexterity. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Somehow legally distinct disadvantage.
This sucks. It's 13, not prime.
Okay.
Grix, sorry, 14. 14, not prime.
Grix, you take 4 points of damage.
Matter. Okay.
As a bullet grazes your thigh.
Biscuit. I don't have a lot of hit points. Okay.
So what's your HP at this point?
I believe it's 7. I'm checking the email, but
oh,
I believe
no.
it's 7.
Okay, so Grix is bleeding, but not from anywhere completely important. That said, I mean, you're getting the blood for that spell. It ain't that something. All right, Wealthy, you're managing to recover. You're managing to hold it together for now. And that damage wasn't bad enough. I'm not going to make Grix roll to, like, not drop people's hands. So, Wealthy, make an intelligence check.
That's another nat 1, so 10. No, that's 10, 12. Wow.
Off of a nat 1 still, though?
Yeah, off of a nat 1.
You're having a really hard time keeping this spell together.
Yeah, I imagine so. People are getting shot around me, and I don't know very much about being shot, but it doesn't look pleasant.
You've watched just enough TV. I bet you do understand that, like,
yeah,
getting
you're
shot
right,
is not
you're
good.
Right, you're right.
You're
but
confused
it's,
why there's
it's,
no music
it's different when it's weird. When it's
oh, person. Yeah, for sure. I'm just saying, you have actually watched a fair amount of TV every night. For the past 5 days, I guess.
All right. Vons, make a wisdom check. Add your listen modifier.
Okay. 17 plus 9 is 26. Plus 2 is 28.
All right. Vons, make a dexterity saving throw.
Crap. That's... Oh, I guess that's just 29. Wait. Are saving throws just the roll plus...
They're just a check, unless you have something that modifies them. So I think for you, it's just a dexterity check, essentially.
Okay, so yeah, 29.
That's really fucking high.
Yay!
Vons, you twig too. You're not sure quite what, honestly. The rain on this boat, because probably a fiberglass boat, like it's not a quiet thing to have rain fall on. But you twig to something out there. You feel your ears twitch, and you just feel this urge to... Basically, while still holding onto people's hands, you like wriggle to the side slightly or roll up onto one shoulder. And you feel the breeze as a bullet passes you about 2 inches away and harmlessly plunks into the water. But you're okay for now. Wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Intelligence check, please.
God, you're not asking for much. Well, that's better than it was. That's 16, 18. 18.
Yeah. Okay, you don't feel like you're losing the spell, but you feel like you're having a hard time making progress.
Yeah.
All right. Back over in the Prime Universe, in the room that is, you know, the big teleportation machine thing.
Yeah.
Grix, make another intelligence check.
All right, I got this. No problem at all. 27. I'm still rolling with the 2d4, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, 27.
You know you're close. You know you're real close. But that didn't quite do it. You're missing something in the tuning.
Okay.
Make another intelligence check, and remember that you have those two rerolls, should you wish to use them.
I'm going to use one of those right now.
Okay.
28.
You go, and you tweak it, and you think you have gotten this thing close to perfect. You are, with that 28, I'll just say that you go, and you think about it, and you see that the magic is flowing outwards. You've also seen, as you guys have tuned it, and it's been able to flow further and further through the machine and its mechanisms. It's coming in fits and starts.
Okay.
You're almost positive it is well-tuned at this point, because every time it flows into a new pattern, a new line, a new one of the arms arranged throughout this place, it's not running into any trouble. There's no sparking. There's no flickering. Or what there is, you can clearly trace to, like, physical damage. And Grix, you know, is not enough to be concerned about. It's like a little bit of sparking or a wire getting a little hot. It's not ideal, but... And you wouldn't want to run it this way forever. But for a one-use situation, it's fine. It's just a, you know, faster decay over time kind of problem. So something you think is going on the other side at this point that might be stopping stuff from connecting. And if you would like to try to think of ways you might be able to get magic into this or do something tricky with stuff you have, please feel free to do so. I just want to put that thought in your head. Well, we cut back to Wealthy.
Okay.
In the boat universe, so we can give it yet another name. In the Green Day Double Prime Boat Collector's Edition, Prima's official universe.
It's the Yacht Rock of universes. Never mind.
You cannot see me burying my face in my hands.
But we can hear it.
I did hear it. It's amazing.
That was good. All right.
What is Yacht Rock? Great question.
I thought that was just a genre. I swear I've heard that before.
Mm-hmm. You've heard it before from me.
Okay. I assumed I'd also heard it from the Rock Chorus. Nothing else.
I mean,
what are you talking
about?
You've
definitely heard about it from me. I mean,
you are my definite one degree of separation away from the concept of Yacht Rock, or at least the phrase.
Yes.
Oh.
Not like it's not a thing that people talk about, but
yeah.
If you don't know where you know it from.
Yeah.
I talk about it a fair amount.
The point is, it's a conversation you had.
Yes. Yeah. That's all I mean.
How's that tag? I might as well cost it. Anyway, so, Wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Make an intelligence check. If you would like to try to think of something you can do to help out with the whole situation, feel free. Like, if there's something else you think you can try. Grix and Vaughn, same thing.
That is also an 18.
I don't have an idea of what I'm doing. What am I...
Basically, you're... This probably happened in the craft. You know, you're all holding hands. You're going around the spell. Uh-huh. People are getting shot. Yeah. Like, if you have something that you think could help this magic work, whether it's I concentrate real hard, I start speaking in Latin because I don't know, maybe it's related. I do something I saw in Buffy once, left as an exercise to the listener. Like,
well, I was trying to lead the group into taking cover, but that didn't seem to work.
It did. Crouch down, but
okay, good, good. I will. I don't know. I think Grix is at a loss here. I don't think Grix knows what to do.
Okay, fair enough.
Getting shot at is a thing that, you know, is anyone really prepared for it?
I just trust Wealthy.
Yeah. Okay. And Wealthy, make another intelligence check.
Oh, God. You're killing me here. That is 13, 15.
You rolled a 4?
I rolled a 4.
Wealthy, this spell's slipping.
Oh, God.
Slipping real bad.
No, I was doing so well.
You were at the start. And then you rolled many, many numbers that were not high enough.
They were not good.
Wealthy, what do you think you would do in your personal experience when you feel a spell slip real bad?
If it's as bad as I think it is, then I'm gonna stop because I'm not gonna get back.
So it's still recoverable from here.
Okay.
But you're pretty sure like one more failure and you're out. So
yeah, I'm gonna stop because there's too much going on around me. For me to maintain that concentration right now, and these people are helping me and I need to help them back.
So just to mention it from earlier, this is using all of the magic you had in you.
Oh, God damn it.
If you stop this spell, you will not be able to resume it unless you find another source of magic.
Okay, but I won't get my spell slots back.
You got them back by running through a spooky thing in the woods that, now that your memories have come back, felt a lot like you kind of pulled the reverse trick on the monsters that pulled the magic out of you.
Okay, then I, having remembered this, I'll continue to work on it. Basically, I'm going to hunker down in the bottom of the boat, and I'm going to turn away from everybody, and I'm going to think really hard and try and maintain this stupid spell.
Okay. Make another intelligence check, add a d6.
Oh, that's not bad. Oh, that sucked. That is 13 plus 9 is, what, 22, 25, 24.
You think you're getting your groove back.
Okay. Thank God.
One more intelligence check for me, please.
Oh, God.
Start progressing through the spell again.
That is 20. Dirty 20.
Okay. Let me roll for something real quick. Wealthy, make a wisdom check.
That's a 19 on a not prime.
You feel that static pushing into your head again.
Can I?
But you push it back this time.
Yeah.
It does not hurt you. And you feel a rush into you of some little extra push. It's like you believe in yourself real hard, which is weird because like that feeling is not coming from within. It's just coming from nowhere.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you took some sweet drugs and they're finally kicking in. I don't know. But like, you feel yourself kind of lurch forward in the spell again.
Okay.
And you think you're getting close to it being done.
Okay.
But you need to put piece de resistance on it.
All right.
Meanwhile, sorry, rolling for some stuff. Ooch. All right. So you felt that static push. You're working on your spell. You're concentrating. And you hear a couple of things. First off, you hear part of the side of the boat just explode outwards.
Oh, no.
Because a bullet has passed through it. The other thing you hear is a grunt, and then you hear a splash in the water.
Oh, no!
You could barely see where Gex was, and now you can't, because you're pretty sure he's over the side and caught another bullet.
No! All right, I'm gonna keep working on the spell. I gotta keep working on the spell. When I jump in, I will try and find Gex before I head into the portal.
All right.
The power of positive thinking. I like
that's
it.
Right.
That's right. Okay. Back in our prime universe. Folks that are there, the magic has started flowing again. Almost everything is lit up on here. You're pretty sure it's tuned.
Okay.
You do see it stumble again.
Uh-oh.
Is there anything you want to do besides just bracing yourself for what comes next?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know that Jesse has anything she can do, so...
Grix gets his crossbow ready. Or not Grix. Vons gets his crossbow ready.
I say, wow, you're just telling Grix what
to
do.
Wow.
All right. Vons arms up.
The last thing I can try doing, this is probably not going to work, is, but why not? I'll cast Detect Magic, and I'll see if I can see any, like, magical field stuff. Sure.
All right.
Make an intelligence. Or, like, is there a spot where stuff is leaking, or...
Yeah. Make an intelligence check, too.
Okay.
Determine what you see.
Not great. 16.
Okay, you see a spot where all of these intersecting magical fields that you can detect magic. This room is borderline blinding, by the way. There is. It's not completely on par with the sunlight trap room from that base in terms of how magical it is, but it's real close. And you think the only difference is that, you know, this is a variable magic field thing, that so maybe it can't be quite as strong as just a hardwired, please make a burst of light and kill everything inside this room. But you do see a spot where it's a little wobbly, a little off. Make an intelligence check to finish tuning the device on these, you know, very last. Finish okay. Fine-tuning this device, if you will. And add your 2d4, as previous.
27.
All right. You tweak it, and you think that it is now perfect, and that the magic will be unimpeded. Wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Make an intelligence check.
Oh, God.
Add 2d6.
Well, I'm doing pretty good. That's 23, and let me count this because I've never gone this high before. 23, 32, 34.
Damn. Sorry. The way you explained that, I'm trying to figure out your dice, but it doesn't matter. So, all right, you go and you channel the rest of the spell through you. And there is one last thing that needs to happen. You think you need a little bit more blood.
Oh, God. Jesus.
And by that, I do mean a little bit.
Uh-huh.
You've had two people bleed on this by virtue of bullet-assisted phlebotomy.
Okay.
And so you think that either you or Vons needs to contribute one last drop of blood.
I pull the knife out of my belt, and I run it across with the palm of my hand.
Okay. Everyone gets their arms jostled around, but you manage it. Run it across the palm of your hand, you bleed into it, the circle flares, and a whole bunch of stuff happens all at once.
Okay.
So you're pretty sure that tunnel is active because there is now a suspicious and not previously existing whirlpool, because it's like someone pulled the plug out of the bottom of this lake and there's a whole bunch of water and you're riding down it. Make a wisdom check.
Okay, that's a dirty 20.
All right, wealthy, spell's done. The boat is suddenly tilting wildly.
Uh-huh.
You go and you
jump
instinctually
off the side?
You hit the deck.
Oh, okay.
As you also get the unique and horrifying sensation of hearing that zip and feeling the breeze as a bullet goes real close to where you were.
Oh, no!
In the, you know, cranial region, so. But you did great. You didn't get shot. So
that's good.
So you are currently on the edge of this nice giant whirlpool. Because the boat got shot through the side earlier, it's filling with water.
God damn it.
But you know where to go. And where that is, where you're going is down.
Okay, can
this
I see Gex?
This is one of those
Gex?
Whirlpools that has a hollow center. So you can literally
assume...
jump down from here and you're pretty sure you'd make
right.
It through your target location.
Can I see Gex?
Use a wisdom check to find Gex.
Oh God, please let me... that is a 19.
You think you see him there on the edge of the whirlpool.
All right, I am not going to jump down into the center of the whirlpool. Is he coming around?
He appears to be unconscious or close to it.
Is he whirling around?
The problem is you're whirling with him, so you'll need to swim out to him or try to jump in
okay.
Him or something like that.
Okay, then I'm going to go. Is the hole big enough for me to go through without stabbing myself?
In the side of the boat?
Yeah.
No.
Okay,
but you can leap over the side of this thing pretty easily.
Then I'm gonna leap over the side, and I'm gonna go in the direction that I'm not swimming against the water towards Gex.
Okay, so this is also pulling you down very quickly. I need you to make a dexterity check and add a d6 because you are going with the current. So you just need to aim it right to be able to grab
that,
Gex on your way through.
That is an 11 plus 9 is 22. 21. Dex, I have Dex, and that is a 1. Plus 1.
Okay. And you added your D6?
Yes.
Okay. And, yeah, Dex is a prime for you. You swim, and you grab Gex.
Ah, I got Gex!
From, like, about, you know, a foot away from the edge of this whirlpool, so he was about to just go down or possibly get kicked out. It's hard to say.
Uh-huh.
Fawns and Grix of this fine universe, there's a fucking whirlpool, and you are currently aimed to go down it. You can leap off the boat and swim to shore, you think? If you get enough muscle under you to... You're still on the edge of the whirlpool enough that you think if you basically go off the opposite side of the boat from it and
he's also been shot.
You can try to get going. You have also been shot.
Yeah, where do whirlpools go anyway?
Well, this is magic one, so...
Grix has been only just barely shot. I would be more concerned about Frymeath than myself. Because he was shot in the shoulder.
Yeah.
I don't want to live in a universe where there's two Frymeaths.
Thanks, he would say. If he could hear your inner monologue.
I mean, one is enough for me.
Yeah, so... Yeah, Frymeath isn't looking too good. And with that arm injury, I mean, he has shown you on and off throughout this thing, although there hasn't been that much physical action since you've been with him. Like, he seems pretty tough, but yeah, you would be the most worried about him. But what do you want to try to do?
Them or me?
Swim.
Okay. Grix, make a dexterity or strength check to clear off the boat.
Oh, hey, that's a great roll. 24.
Okay. You can use that result to assist someone else if needed.
Okay.
Bonds.
Huh?
What are you up to?
This is probably pretty overwhelming. I don't imagine Vons really cares for water that much. And it's not like he's got potions or anything in this universe to help him out. I guess he's just getting dizzy, isn't he?
Yes, but thinking, what does he want to try to do?
Well, he's thinking about like getting off the boat, but if he's off the boat, then he's in the same place in the same whirlpool going around the same.
He can go the way that Grix did. And if you get enough of a leap, you can get clear enough of the whirlpool current. You think you can swim out.
Okay, well, but what about Frymeath?
Good question. Do you want to try to help him?
Yeah, I guess Vons is the only one who hasn't been shot yet. Yeah, let's try to help Frymeath out and
All right, make a dexterity check. Or actually, you're dragging. So make a dexterity check. This is going to be your leap off the boat. And then I'm going to have you do a strength check to see if you can like help Frymeath on the way.
Ooh, okay. Well, let's see. 12 plus he's level what?
5.
So that's 18, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, 18.
You're able to clear off the boat, same as Grix. You'll be able to swim safely to shore, but strength check to try to basically, we'll retroactively decide if you're able to help Frymeath in any significant way or not.
Strength check. Oh, no. Just rolled a 2 on the die. That's not going to be great. 7. Strength is 0.
So you get Frymeath up from where he... Like, he'd clearly almost lost his balance and was having trouble getting it back. You yank him back up to a standing position, but that's all you can do before you bail out because the boat is getting lower and, you know, you needed to go. So now Frymeath gets to try. Because you made it unassisted, Grix, are you okay with Frymeath using your help?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so they'll add a d4 to Frymeath, so he kind of follows your lead. Well, that old man's pretty good at this shit.
Fuck yes.
Holds his arm stable, you know, vaults off the rail as the boat, like, truly tips into the whirlpool at this point, and side strokes for his fucking life, and is keeping pace with you, and all three of you are free of the current more than enough that you'll be okay. You're gonna have some drag on you or whatever, but, like, you'll make it back to the dock. This is not a worry. And you swim off through the storm, and there's possibly a guy out there with a gun, but who cares? Wealthy.
Yep.
You're headed on down this whirlpool.
Yep, I'm holding on to Gex.
And so you just hold on and see what happens?
Yep, I'm headed that way.
All right. Prime Universe, folks.
Yeah.
Hello.
The space fills up.
I'm here too.
Or the magic fills through the entire mechanism. And what looks to be a actually very precise set of intersecting lines in the air in 3 dimensions, basically an X, Y, and Z axis, forms in the center of the room, starts rotating with blinding speed, and then a gate opens up. It's pretty damn big. This could fit a large-sized creature through it, big. And it's like a tall, pointed at each end pill shape.
So, okay.
It's not quite just a flat gate, basically. But something else happens. Out of the bottom of it, a bunch of water starts rushing out. Like a lot of water.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
What the fuck?
This room's pretty big. It's not going to fill up right away. And there's hallways out of here. But over the course of even just a few seconds, this is up to your ankles. So,
ooh, okay. So Vons immediately takes one of his water breathing potions.
Okay.
Where the water breathing should still be on.
Yeah, because you use water breathing to get here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, right. Yeah.
So you guys stay in place and brace yourself.
It was only a couple weeks ago we took that.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Out of curiosity, are Vons and Grick or Vons and Jesse, I think Grick's kind of had to be where he was to do the tuning final bit.
Right.
But are Vons and Jesse still in the room? Or did they?
I mean, Jesse would be like kind of off to one side. That's where she had kind of decided to be, just so that she needed to be, you know, around to help more. She wanted to be extremely available.
Yeah. So you're probably like next to the outer wall near Grix.
Yeah.
Vons, where are you at?
Just outside of the room in the hall, which I imagine has no cover, just, you know. He's got one more wall to lean against.
Yeah.
The wall he's leaning against is to his side as opposed to behind him.
Right. You're like bracing yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. You go and you're all braced. You're all ready. Wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
You're riding on down until all momentum from this suddenly stops. You see the base of the lake rush up towards you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're in one of those glowing tunnels again.
How long does this transition take?
To the glowing tunnel?
Yeah, through the glowing tunnel.
You think you'll need to start swimming.
Okay.
For some reason, the water that was near you isn't moving the same way the whirlpool was.
Okay, I will make sure I'm holding on to Gex with my left hand, and I am swimming forward with my right.
Okay, make a dexterity check.
You know, you're pushing my dice to their limits. 15.
Okay. You hold on to Gex just fine. You hold on to Gex just fine. Use your other hand to paddle. Make a
Are we
check.
Completely underwater?
Yes. You okay. are holding your breath.
Oh, that's a nice one. That's 25.
All right. You're paddling down. You're paddling down. You see, nestled in some weeds, an oddly familiar knife. If you grab it, it will slow you down. But you recognize that knife from the time you did this ritual the first time. And you know that it is some magic shit.
I'm going to detour ever so slightly and grab the knife.
Okay, you grab the knife, you slide it on your belt or something. And I need you to make a constitution check and subtract a d4. As you swim for the other end of this tunnel.
That is 12.
On not a prime.
On not a prime. Do I have con? But I do have one, so that's 13.
Okay. You paddle, and you paddle, and you paddle.
And I paddle.
And your lungs burn. Uh-huh. And Gex is heavy. And you know that you cast the spell right. You know the end of this tunnel is soon. But you also know from your past experience that it can be pretty hard to see where the end of the tunnel is.
Uh-huh.
You think you see it in front of you.
Uh-huh.
But your body's getting sluggish. Your lungs burn. You involuntarily let out some bubbles of air. You have a choice here.
Uh-huh.
You can either drop Gex and definitely make it before you go unconscious. Or you can... push yourself until you
I'm holding on to Gex. I'm holding on to Gex.
Okay.
I'm holding on to Gex.
All right. Prime Universe folks in the teleportation room. Water keeps flooding out. Grix, you are treading water at this point.
Okay.
Jesse, it's, you know, up to your upper thighs / hips.
I'm like, you can climb up if you need, Grix.
I'm okay. I can swim.
Okay, just...
yeah.
And, you know, if you do.
And you can find a handhold if you need to on the wall. Like, there's enough carvings and stuff, there's probably something you can grab onto. And that is when a wealthy tumbles through, or rather, just kind of flows out with the water, apparently completely unconscious, and dragging a conscious and very much bleeding Gex.
They don't know who Gex is, what Gex looks like. They have no idea.
It's a giant-ass lizard. That's weird.
What the fuck? I like, wade over.
Okay.
And collect wealthy,
make a wisdom check.
Okay. That's a 21 total on a prime.
All right. You determine that as you grab wealthy is unconscious, but stable. And currently, basically, as soon as you lift her out of the water, is coughing and you see, you know, water spitting out of her mouth, but she's conscious enough to cough. She's probably going to be okay.
I throw her over my shoulder.
All right. That wisdom check also lets you know that this lizard, whatever the fuck it is bleeding out.
Oh, fuck. And needs immediate medical what's going attention. On?
And one of the first words I'm able to do is, Gex!
You drift Gex. Back into conscious enough just to say, Gex. And
you need Gex? You need us to get Gex? Gex, Gex, Gex.
The world falls in on itself.
You see a... Because you still have detect magic going, probably.
Uh-huh.
You see a flicker of magic near this bleeding out, unconscious lizard thing that then, like, fizzles.
Ah, Gex.
Is this Gex?
Yeah, that's Gex.
Fuck.
Who looks the worst?
Gex, by far. At Gex. Least that's what... I assume, Jesse, you communicate that apparently.
Well, yeah,
Gex
I'm like, this
shape.
It's just bleeding out. It's crazy. All
right, I go over and cast Cure Light Wounds.
Okay. I'm going to say, he continues to bleed out, but Grix is pretty close by and a fairly fast
Five.
Swimmer. And you cast Cure Light Wounds. Roll your D8.
5.
That's enough. You get Woo-hoo. Gex back into unconscious but stable condition. Wealthy falls back unconscious because she's actually in the negatives. But through dramatic willpower, said the name Gex.
I'm like, I have a Cure Light Wounds, and I pull it out of my pocket and uncap it and like pour it down Gex's throat.
All right, roll another D8.
That's a 3.
And Grix got a 5. Okay. Where is Wealthy? Wendy.
She's right over there.
She's over my shoulder here, buddy.
You're okay.
Is that what you
Everything's
look like?
Fine.
Oh, you look so pretty.
Thank you.
Everything's fine. You're going to be all right. Everyone's all right.
The portal closes. Vons, you're treading water now. Jesse, it's like at high waist height, but you can still keep Wealthy's head out of the water. And Gex.
Mm.
And as you stand there, you feel the current tug at your clothes as the water slowly drains away. Hopefully out of the hallways you need to go back into, but at least out of this room. And that's where we'll pick up next time.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Woohoo!
Primary Attribute has been imagined and brought to life by the people you've heard. For more information about the podcast, check out our website, primaryattribute.com. For questions, comments, and feedback, email us at letters@primaryattribute.com. To follow us on social media, you can find us at facebook.com/primaryattributepod. On Twitter, @primeattribute, and @primaryattribute.tumblr.com for all our blazed posts. Is that really the term we're using these days? Castles and Crusades is published by Troll Lord Games. Our theme music was composed by Aaron. Our logo was designed by, me, that's Adam. This week's editor was Aaron. Thanks, Aaron. Thanks for listening, and we hope you tune in next time to Primary Attribute.
That Ricola is very old.